So we'll discuss some in Yoni Kfura, some mitzvahs of burial. In fact, as tonight is Zayin Adar. And Zayin Adar, as we know, or if we don't know, is the birth and death of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to tradition. And as we spoke about birthdays a couple of weeks ago, that was Haman's mistake. He didn't realize that Adar was a good month because Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Kedai Yom HaLeida, Shemachaper Shom HaMisa. The day of birth is even greater than the day of death. So the minhag throughout North America and perhaps even Israel and Europe is on Zayin Adar. It's a whole discussion this year in general. Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, in terms of when do you observe a birthday, when do you observe a yahrzeit, when do you read the Megillah, we know. But there are issues, that will be another shiur in the coming weeks in terms of what Adar Rishon for, what do we observe in Adar Sheni. But the minhag is that someone told me during the day they fast, and at night the Chevra Kaddishas get around, or maybe they combine the yahrzeit and birthdays, and they have a meal celebrating, let's assume celebrating the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, not the death. And of course, and that's why I guess Chevra Kaddisha, because Moshe Rabbeinu was buried by God, and there was no one knew where and we didn't want to turn into a tourist attraction, so no one knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried now. And therefore, they point out that it was the chesed of God who buried it, so that's what the Chevra Kaddisha does. Usually volunteer people, and even if not, it's a tremendous mitzvah, most of them are volunteer people who go ahead and they work, in preparing the bodies for burial. So it's a good time to revisit some issues of burial. So let's go, we'll start from the basics and move from there. So there's a pasuk in the Torah, in Parshas Kiseitze, Kavar Tikbareno Bayomahu, that there's a mitzvah, you shall surely be buried. And on that day, there's halacha, you can't leave a body over. There's another prohibition, connected or be different, of halonas hameis, leaving a body over that has to be buried. So there's a mitzvah asay of burial. But interesting enough, if you look at the pasuk in the Chumash, it's talking about someone who's killed by misas beistin. So about someone who was a Rasha or did a terrible sin that warranted the death penalty. And the Gemara and the Chumash is talking about that person has to be buried. So the Gemara asks, I know Haruge Beistin, people killed by Beistin have to be buried. Shar Mesim Minayan. How do I know an average person or a natural death, someone has to be buried? What's the source? So the Gemara quotes, actually, it seems to be 2 days in the Gemara there. The Gemara asks, Minayin Lekfura Min HaTorah, uses the question Minayin, from where? And another language is used, Remez Min HaTorah. So the Mefarshim point out, the Lecha Mishnah over there points out, it seems to be 2 days in the Gemara. According to the opinion Minayin, that's biblical. Show me a source, a pasuk. And Remez is what's the source. Remez Min HaTorah Minayin, that's only a hint to it. So even though there might be 2 days in the Gemara, whether everyone agrees Kfura for someone killed by Beis, and that's biblical. What about whether Kfura on Shar Mesim is biblical or rabbinical? That's 2 days in the Gemara, but we certainly paskin that Kfura on everybody, on Shar Mesim as well, is also biblical. In fact, it's interesting, the Rambam writes, the Lecha Mishnah points out, let's say someone says, the Gemara gets into, I don't want to be buried. The Gemara goes into another discussion, let's say you don't want a eulogy, other things, maybe if we have time we'll come back to it. But the Gemara says about don't bury me. I want to be cremated. And it's not an uncommon question today. I've got a bunch of cremation, not so much if you could do it, or, in terms of what happens today if you know somebody is going to be cremated, in terms of, because strictly speaking, it talks about, the poskim talk about, there's no shiva, going to the funeral, it's not so, whether that applies today, that's a separate discussion, in terms of, because it doesn't mean today, see, cremation, why is cremation usher? Cremation is usher from a pure halakhic point of view, you mevatel the mitzvah aseh kfura. You nullify the mitzvah of burial. That's why. If I take the ashes and put them in the ground, doesn't make a difference. That's not you anymore. You consider panim chadashos. When you are turned into ashes, it's not considered you anymore. And therefore, of course, if some Holocaust victim, someone gets burned in a fire, of course, how it's covered, you're going to bury those ashes in a Jewish cemetery. But strictly, legally speaking, it's not burial because it's not you. But not that you didn't do anything wrong, it's just not burial. And to the question, but so that's nullifying a positive mitzvah. But there's a more theological reason which doesn't apply as much today as it did then. And that's why perhaps you find the poskim have very strong language for people who did cremations. Ein lo chelok olam haba. It's a denial. Because why? Because why did people do cremation? Because they want to show its closure. That's it. Let's take the ashes, put them in the ocean. Our life's over. This is the end of it. And in Judaism, we know it's not the end. It's just the beginning. The eternal world is the real world, and that's what we're living for. Not that we're living for, but that's what the ultimate reward is. And therefore, by you saying, I want cremation, you're saying, I'm denying the next world. Okay, if you deny the next world, you lose the next world. But that's from a theological point of view. Today, I don't think most people are thinking that way. Today, it'd be more pragmatic. Could I do funerals? I speak to the person who does even non-Jewish funerals, and I ask them about cremations, and I ask why people do it. And basically, it's environmental, it's cheaper, you know, and that type of thing. But today, it's not really a theological issue. So, in terms of most people don't even know, there's some Jews who don't even know that's not even a Jewish value, cremation. So, the question is, if a person tells someone, don't bury me, I want to be cremated, or I want to be thrown to the wolves in India, or whatever. So you have to listen to them, because, you know, mitzvah kayim divrei hameis. There's always a mitzvah to listen to someone, but there's a special mitzvah to fulfill the words of someone dying. So the Gemara says, goes into it, depends on what's the nature of the mitzvah of kvura. If the purpose of, who's burial for? If burial is the burial covered hameis, it's a denigration, the body is just lying there, it's going to smell lying around, it's an insult to the dead. Or, in addition, it's covered achai. It's a bizayin to the family, covered abriyas, to have this person lying around and not being buried, it's not honor to the people living. My nafgamina, what's the practical difference if I say the purpose of burial is for the living or for the dead? Either way, you have a mitzvah of kfura. The answer Gemara says is, if someone says, I don't want to be buried, does he have a right to say, I don't want to be buried? Or do you have the right not to listen to that person? So, if it's covered hameis, if it's for his atonement, so it's not a good idea, but if he doesn't want to be buried, we can discuss listening to him because it's his call, so to speak. But if it's honor to the living, who cares what he has to say? It's nothing to do with you, pal. I'm burying you because of us, so we're not going to listen. So the question is, when you look at the Rambam codifies this halach. He says, someone says, tells you, I don't want to be buried. Ain shomim, well, you don't listen to him, because the mitzvah of kura, it's a mitzvah aseh min haTorah, it's a biblical mitzvah, kavatik parena bayomahu. The question, why isn't the Rambam not quoting the Gemara, like he's giving his own version? So the Lecha Mishnah explains no, because what is the Gemara going into philosophy? Why? Who cares why? I mean, not who cares, but when you're studying it, it's okay. But in terms of Lamaisa, I don't really care why. It's in terms of doing. So the Lecha Mishnah says that we know there's a general machlokas in the Gemara between Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda with the Darshina and time of the Krah. But we take the reason and limit the scope of the mitzvah, or limit our experience. So let's say the case the Gemara Torah says is don't take collateral from a widow, right? Don't take collateral from a widow. So the Gemara says that, well, the Torah says don't take collateral from a widow, and the assumption is because the widow's poor, and therefore she needs a pillow akor. What happens? The Gemara says if she's a rich widow, a nice life insurance policy, independently wealthy, she won the lottery, whatever it was. So it's a machokas in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda says, Eino darshina taima dakra. We can't go into reasons. The Torah says not to take collateral from her. End of discussion. And Rav Shimon says, no, darshina taima dakra. And if she's rich, you can. So we pass in general like Rabbi Yehuda. Eino darshina. So why is the Gemara going into? Who cares the reason? So that's what the Rambam, that's what the Lecha Mishnah explained to Rambam. No, really, the Rambam is saying, we paskin, it's the raisa, so no discussion. It's biblical, and therefore, there's nothing to talk about Ein Shomuf. According to the opinion that it's the Rabbanan, we could clear back and forth. But that's what the Rambam is. The Rambam is clear, and that's the way we paskin. We paskin, kvur is biblical, and Ein Shomim, well, you don't listen to someone. Of course, at the end of the day, it probably won't come down so much to the person themselves. It depends what the people in charge do. So I had different cases I had a recent case was someone called me up. They didn't really have a say in the matter. The husband died, and the wife said the husband wanted a cremation. But the brothers and sisters said no. Either they didn't think he didn't want it, they thought maybe the wife wanted it, not him, and they said no cremation. But the point is, they had no say in the matter, I guess, the wife, legally speaking. So that was it. So the question was, in terms of, I think they wanted to know about Shiva. They wanted to know about, because if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, very strong words. So in this specific case, I told them it was okay. Number one is it wasn't clear that he wanted cremation. Like maybe he didn't want it, you know, and these people weren't really observant, they didn't really know. And also the people who wanted burial aren't really observant either, but at least they knew enough that burial. So I said, yeah, so then, and what does Shiva mean anyway for these people? It's not classical Shiva where they're sitting down. So Shiva, this means they'll get together for a couple of hours. So, you know, you have to know who you're talking to and what the scenario is. And that's, I don't remember all the details, but I remember telling them that they could go to the funeral if there was, I'm not even sure if there was a funeral or in terms of Shiva and that. So, but that's the point is Ain Shomim, well, but it's not as uncommon as you think, and it comes up a lot, unfortunately, today. So nevertheless, that's a mitzvah asay of kvura. It's a positive mitzvah, and by not burying someone, whether cremating them or not burying them, you're mevatel mitzvah asay of kvura. In fact, that's the whole question of mausoleum. Rav Moshe Feinstein was very against mausoleums for this. He says, what are you doing speaking of desks and shelves? Basically, you're taking, this halacha of kvura. So the question is, what about, is it enough to put someone in a coffin and that's it? What does kvura mean? So kfura means kfura bakarka. You have to put them in the ground. So lechat chila, the way it's done in Israel, is they bury the people directly in the ground because the quicker the body decomposes, the quicker the atonement. But in North America, there are different rules. You can't. So therefore, what about, so if you just put someone in a box and leave it on top of the ground, that's the mavata mitzvah of kfura. What if you take the box and put it in the ground? So that the Ramban writes out, the lichatchil is to do it just in the ground, but we have no choice today. So putting it in the box in the ground, that's considered the mitzvah of kvura. What we do is, some people have a fake bottom and they drop the bottom out and they actually have the body going into the ground. Whether that's legal and that's a separate discussion. But what others do is, in addition to making holes on the bottom, they put, the meaning is we take off our dirt, earth from Eretz Yisrael, and we put it in the coffin, so therefore it's like, you're going for, off of the up, you're going back from dust to, you know, from dust to dust. So therefore, that's what we do. So therefore, our meaning is we, in Israel, directly in the ground, but in North America, we do it in the coffin in the ground. That's also considered kfura. And they point out that that's what the Ramosha was very against mausoleums. He felt if you put yourself in a mausoleum, that's like putting yourself in a coffin and leaving yourself above ground, and he felt that was a bitul mitzvah asay of kvura. You know, maybe in terms of, I remember there was a discussion many years ago, there was a big freeze in the winter, and they couldn't get to dig the grave, so they had to wait. So the question was, what should they do meanwhile? So someone suggested to put the body in a mausoleum for now. At least you're getting somewhere. At least it's in the coffin. And someone else suggested, why don't you just, wherever you're going to put it, but just put earth on top of it. But they said, where are you going to get earth? It's frozen. So I told them something called Home Depot or Lowe's or any of these places where they sell earth. So either go there, put earth over it for temporary until it had to be worked out. But either way, so we assume that Rav Moshe is very strong about mausoleums. He says, you shouldn't even be buried in a Jewish cemetery. I'm not saying everyone agrees. Everyone is as strong as Rav Moshe, but Rav Moshe says it. You shouldn't even be buried in a Jewish cemetery if there's a mausoleum close by. Because he quotes, because this is halacha, like a Sefer Torah should be buried near a Talmud Chacham, a Talmud Chacham near a Torah scholar, near a Torah. Because we see it's important not only where you're buried, but who you're buried next to. And therefore, he fell very strongly against Mus. So either way, we assume in general, mausoleums are a problem of bitul mitzvah kvura. There are cases in the Gemara before, I think they buried people in the caves, but that has to be in the ground or underneath the ground. So that whatever they did, they worked it out. But I'm saying you can't just put someone in a mausoleum is like, one of those, I've never actually seen one exactly, but the way people explain to me, it's kind of like a little like locker, you pull it out of maybe almost like the morgue or something, I don't know. So yeah, you're with me on that also. Okay, so it's not enough just to be put in the coffin, it's kavar tikvareno, the double language that you have to, not enough to put them in a coffin, you have to actually do it as well in the ground. How much of a mace has to be buried? So it's an interesting machlokas, the Tosas Yantam, the Mishnah Lamelach. The Mishnah in Shabbos talks about different types of carrying. It's prohibited to carry on Shabbos unless you have an Erev. Many places have an Erev today, but there's still a biblical prohibition to carry in a public place, or Rishus HaRabim. So Gemara over there is talking about different things, and one of them is, what happens if you're carrying part of a mace? So the Tosas Yantav, the Mishnah says, a kizayis min ha-mace is aser. If you have a kizayis, an olive size of a mace, that's prohibited to carry. So the Tosas Yantav, what gives an olive size, a kizayis, what gives that chashivas? What gives that importance? Like, why did they pick that? So the Mishnah Lamelach writes that over there, what do we see from here? It must be that that's the size you need for kfura. The reason why a kezayis is significant because that's the minimum amount required for kfura. And that's what the Tosas Yantav writes, that if you have less than a kezayis, I'm not saying you should leave it there, but if you have less than a kezayis hametz, there's no chiyuv kfura biblically. Maybe rabbinically, you should bury it anyway. But biblically speaking, you need at least a kezayis. And the Mishnah Lamelach disagrees, and he quotes, he has another Gemara that talks about a kohen is not allowed to defile for a mace, but a mace mitzvah, he's the only one around, and there's no one else to do it, so then he's allowed to do it. So the question is, how much of a mace has to be there that he's allowed to the... So because the Gemara tells us you need Roshu Varubo, basically the head, the majority. How does the Gemara know this? So the Mishnah Lamelach says, from Kavar Tikbareno is Mashma Lashon Shalei. I mean, you have to bury the whole body, and we have a general principle, Ruva Kaku, and the majority is like all. And therefore, he says that's how we get Roshu Varubo. So therefore he claims that's the ashir you need for burial. So it's a machlokas Tosas Yantav and the Mishnah Lamelach, whether the minimum amount is a kezayis or the minimum amount is a roshura. I guess it's an iser deraisa, so and it's a mitzvah deraisa, so I guess we'll go with chumra, and even on a kezayis maze we'll bury. Another interesting halacha comes up is someone who was killed, let's say in a car accident or any type of death where blood comes out, you're shot, knife, and this blood is what they call dam ha-nefesh, blood that comes out during the misa, while you're dying. So the Shach and Taz both write, there's a chi of kfura. You're obligated to, it's important to know in the emerge room, It's chayev, that's obligated in burial. And in fact, it's because they talk about the tragic, it's not clear exactly why is it. Is it really the din of kfura, or is it more covered on mace? It's not clear why, but everyone says you have to do it. Because the tragic case is someone's killed in an accident, you're killed by a guy. So unfortunately, the poskim talk about someone's all bloody, so you don't do a tahara. You don't clean the body because you're concerned you're going to clean too much and you're going to take the dam away. So therefore, you don't do a tahara, you don't put tachrich in, you don't put the shrouds on. What you do is you clean up whatever you can do, but you need the blood to be buried. And also, it's kind of like God, take nekama, take revenge. Look, we're showing you the blood. When he's going up to Shamayim now, a mystical concept, you know, God, take revenge on the people who killed the Jewish people and that. But that's the halacha, the dam ha-nefesh, you have to be careful. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, they're very careful. Unfortunately, it happens way too often, all these mom things where, and they know exactly what to scrape off and all that, so.
What if you can't get it? What if it's like on the ground or something?
Yes, I'm just saying you do whatever you can do, I'm saying it. But I'm saying in Israel, with all the modern technique, you know, they find ways, whatever, you know, they'll get every last, you know, in America, they don't really appreciate what it means. Mm-hmm. They'll, you know, I assume they'll do a good job, but they don't, you know, in Israel, like, they know exactly what it means. So, you know, again, whatever you, if not you're an honest, what could you do? What about another question? Aver min achai, someone loses a limb, you lose an arm, a leg, is that obligated in burial or not? So, there's a Gemara in Ksuvis and Daf Chav talks about a muchashkin, someone who's losing limbs, or someone with leprosy. They say if you have leprosy, you lose your limbs. So the Gemara says over there, you throw the limb into this pit. There's a certain pit you go, you throw those things into. Why not throw it in the garbage? Why in the pit? So the Nodu the writes, we see from here that there's no din of kfura. There's no din of burial on an aver min achai. There's another thing. Burial is only on an aver mace when someone dies. So why are we throwing it in the pit? It's a totally different reason. To prevent a michshol to kohanim. We want to make sure the kohanim are away and that there's no, so you can't just leave a limb around, but really there's no obligation to bury it at all. It's just to avoid messing up the kohanim. Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees with the Nodi Rudin and says, no, there is a din of kfur even on aver min achai. And therefore, he says, you do have to bury it. So therefore, again, there's no harm in burying it. And again, within Rav Moshe, what does it mean, an aver? So maybe only says it by a limb, but what about if it's just basar, let's say it's a kidney stone, or it's only basar, that already is a further discussion. Maybe Rav Moshe doesn't say it as strongly, but the nafkamina between Rav Moshe and the Noam Yehud is, let's say you live in a place where there are no kohanim. According to Noam Yehud, you can leave the limb there. According to Rav Moshe, no, you have to bury it anyway, because so that's interesting. Machlokes, Rav Moshe and Noam Yehud on Aver min achai, and whether he takes it to Basar min achai as well. What about a nafel, a stillborn, a miscarriage? You have, again, so it depends on the level of where they're at. Sometimes this is not, comes out, there's nothing there. But when it reaches, you know, whatever that we could discuss with doctors, whatever the exact, you know, semester, whatever they're up to, but whatever the shear is, so do you have to bury a nafel? So the Gemara Sachim talks about they had a special pit where they also put in stillborns and nafels in there. And the Hagos Maimon, he says, why not burial? So we see from here that there's no din of kfura by a nafel. So the Hagos Maimon is in Hilchas Milah of all places, says you don't have, there's no obligation to bury a nafel. Why does that come up in Hilchas Milah? Because it's a very interesting halacha, very sad halacha, that let's say you have a nafel that dies, and let's say it's a boy, and let's say it's old enough, it has like organs. So again, it's a discussion, some Rishonim say it's nivel hamesh, you shouldn't do it, but the minhag seems to be that you do a kind of quasi-mila. You do like your kata arla, a pikabala, Avram Avino, yamila, different reasons, it's not really clear. To me it seems more like nivel hamesh, but the minhag is, and the Shulchan Aruch brings it down, so I'm not going against that. So that's the minute you do it. So the lacha is, we do kfura on Yantav Sheni. I mean, you're allowed to do kfura on Yantav Rishon Ayidei Goy, and Yantav Sheni, even to a Jew, we don't do it today because of other reasons, of course, Chilul Yantav. But You only do kvura on Yantav Sheni on someone who's that you have to do kvura on. So the Hagos Mayim is right that you can't bury a nefil on Yantav Sheni. Because why? Since there's no chiyav to do a mila, you can't do a mila on Yantav Sheni for a nefil. Because not a kfura, you're talking about a mila. Because you can do a mila, you know, only if there's a chiyav mila. But if there's no chiyav mila, you can't do. You can do a mila on the nefil any day during the week. So we see from here because he holds there's no chiyav kfura on a nefil, and the Magen Avraham disagrees and says no, you are obligated to do kfura on a nefil. And interesting, there's a whole Gemara in Nida that talks about the Kutim, these non-believers, and they said not to bury a nefil. And the Magen Avraham says, so the Hagos Mayim said they got that one right. And the Magen Avraham says we don't paskin like the Kutim. And then there's a further discussion in terms of burying Gentiles. In terms of in general, again, you know, we could continue on this, but the general chiyuv, as I pointed out, is that Rav Chaim V'lozhin writes that we know that Gemara need that every baby in the every fetus is taught kol ha'tara kulo before they're born, and when they come out, you give them pachi and they forget it. What's the point if they can forget it all? So that's what he writes because that gives every Jew a kedusha, and we know the halacha is tashmishei kedusha has to be buried. So a Jew has to be buried. A guy, Pashas, doesn't have to be buried. Not that he can. It's an interesting Ramban. The Ramban writes that perhaps, and Rav Schechter is, so what's the heter of, let's say kadabras, let's say you're working, so what's the heter of working in the midst of kfura? So obviously, so if it's a Jew, you have a chi of kfura, you can't work on a kadabra. But if it's a guy, so then there's, technically speaking, there's no chi of kfura. So you can, so Rav Schechter is Machmir. He claims there's a Ramban in Chumash that claims that, but in Eretz Yisrael, there's a step, the Ramban writes, but you can't leave even a non-Jewish body out, because Yehoshua, after he won a war, he buried the kings, because there's a separate provost to Tamei Alad Masan. The Ramban teaches, according to Rav Schechter, it's very difficult then to have a medical school. Obviously, most don't assume that way, but he felt the Ramban says it, and no one argues, so therefore no one else discusses it. So he assumed, he didn't say, well, no one else discusses it, therefore, maybe everyone assumes no one else discusses it, therefore no one else agrees. Rav Schechter assumes it's a real din the raisa, so he thought one should be machmer. But either way, we'll continue on to Amani Kfur, just to review, we discussed the basis of Kavar Tikbarenu, the Torah is talking about Mises Beistin, and we learned out Shar Mesim from Kavar Tikbarenu, and we pointed out that's the Halasha in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Shomalok, he holds it's Daraisa, but the Gemara goes to back and forth, whether Darshin and time in the crow or not. And we said you have to put them in the ground. It's not enough. It has to be Bakarka, Chachila in the ground, but we put offer in. We said how much? That was a Machokis. The toast is Yanta, Mishnah, Lamelach, either Kezias or the majority. And then we had a Machokis. Aver Menachai, no de Behuda, no Chi of Kfura, Ramosha, yes, maybe Basa Menachai. We had a further machokas about a Nefel, whether you could bear, you know, whether you have a Chiev to bury a Nefel, and in terms of whether the Chiev extends to a non-Jew or not. So we'll have to continue on this.